This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com, or the Joy app. No matter where you are, you can always take Em and Warren with you.
You are with Em and Warren for your Monday drive home. It is 16 minutes past five.
Now, for more than a decade, federal parliament has been acknowledging country at the opening of proceedings without any incidents whatsoever. But just last month, the acknowledgement preceded an outburst and walkout by Senator Pauline Hanson. And that promoted media coverage which revealed embarrassing confusion over acknowledging and welcoming to country. And there is a difference and it does matter, but to explain further, we're joined by Kala Jetta from the College for First Nations at the University of Southern Queensland. Kala, welcome to Joy Drive.
Hi, thanks so much for having me, guys.
Can you explain briefly, please, the difference between acknowledgement of and welcome to country?
Sure. Well, an acknowledgement of country can basically be performed. It can be written or verbalised by absolutely anyone. It can be an email footer or something that occurs at the beginning of a meeting or an event. And anyone can conduct one, and it's basically just a really simple way of paying respects to the traditional country language and custodians. And it's a great way to sort of embed some language and learning around that. And so First Nations people in Australia and globally have always acknowledged other people's country, you know, when travelling off of their own. And so while it has been sort of revitalised and sort of structured in a way that is accessible to everyone and easily used and applied, it's certainly nothing new. A welcome to country, in contrast, can only be performed by a traditional custodian, so someone who is of that particular country or locality. And usually it's a prominent, well-respected elder, and that elder, if they are not available, can then, I guess, nominate somebody else in their place. But it must be from somebody of the place, you know, to be able to welcome somebody. It's, you know, the same as if you host a party at your house, it would be the host that welcomes everybody. And so it's something that, you know, has always existed in First Nations protocol, and that, you know, continues to maintain an important connection to country, you know, despite the fact that many First Nations individuals find themselves physically disconnected to country.
Kala, why are acknowledgement of and welcome to countries performed, and what's the significance?
Well, basically, it's an important reminder that you know, Australia itself is much older than you know, the land and its people are much older than the construct and the name of Australia. We're talking about a history of at least 60,000 years of occupancy and custodianship of the country, and it's honouring that continued responsibility of First Nations custodians to protect and preserve country and culture and to carry it forward. And, you know, as we know, for many decades, Aboriginal languages and cultural practices were outright forbidden and actually punishable as an offence in many instances. And so a lot of people, you know, a lot of people's connection was stolen and badly damaged. And by sort of reimagining and reinvigorating these processes, it is sort of re-harnessing that pride and that connection and ensuring that Australians in general are, you know, are aware that, you know, there are languages and regions and boundaries and custodians and all sorts of things embedded in this land, you know, that they may not be aware of. And so it's important for, you know, preserving that cultural identity and that connection. It's important for educating others
Kelly, I mean, it's clear that a lot of people remain, you know, confused and even unaware of the difference between the two. What do you think we need to do to raise that awareness? Is it something that, you know, maybe it is taught in school curriculum now, certainly wasn't when I was there, but what else can we do to raise that awareness?
I think it's really important that when delivering acknowledgement of country, that it doesn't become sort of this rote, you know, almost chore-like protocol. It needs to be meaningful and it needs to connect with people. And if people aren't feeling that, then they're not going to honour it. And so I think it needs to be teaching and telling something, sharing something about the land, about the region, you know, something that allows everybody to feel a stronger connection to the land that they're walking on. And that's why, you know, I love local acknowledgements and welcomes, because they do incorporate language. They incorporate the traditional place names, and right away you're educating people and people are learning then about the country they're on. And so it's not about being divisive or exclusive. It's really not about that at all. It's about saying, look, this is how we do. This is how we've always done. And, you know, we're welcoming you into that. You know, and it's applied equally into everyone. It doesn't matter whether we, you know, as a First Nations person, we travel off country onto somebody else's. We too acknowledge that country, you know, we're welcomed and vice versa. It's not something that's designed to rub anyone up the wrong way. And, you know, I was quite sort of taken aback at the level of controversy around it. It really doesn't sort of, warrant that. You know, it's not threatening or harming anybody, and it certainly doesn't exclude anyone. If anything, it's inclusive, and bringing us together around some shared knowledge and information.
Why is it that you think people, why do they feel threatened by it?
That's a really good question. And I think in general, when it comes to, you know, Aboriginal rights, when it comes to the rights of many minority groups in this country, for some reason, there's a fear where people just seem to equate you know, the empowerment of one group of people with the disempowerment of their own or of the mainstream. You know, it's an acknowledgement of country today, but what will it be tomorrow? What will we be expected to partake in? And people allow their, I think, defensiveness and, knee-jerk sort of reactions to kick in before they really consider things. And I don't think the media helps a lot of the time, mainstream media. You know, it can put a negative spin on things. And if we look at the, you know, the Indigenous flag debacle just recently, you know, it's probably wasn't a First Nations idea to go and get it up there, you know, although I'm sure that the pressure came from there, but the quote and stuff that came out and the hype around that, it sort of negatively detracts from progress, and it just leaves the general public sort of feeling, apathetic and tired, and they're not hearing the true, I think, First Nations perspectives. And if you listen, you know, I think most people would agree, if they just did a little bit of listening and learning, that there is nothing divisive, you know, in these practices and protocols. There's nothing to be feared or, you know, threatened by. If anything, it's an invitation for you to, you know, to step inside a different perspective and to learn from that. And, you know, that's something that First Nations Australians people have been expected to do, you know, for the past 200 years, whether it's singing an anthem or reciting the Lord's Prayer in schools or, you know, learning in, you know, majority English. You know, there's a million different examples of where the traditional culture that was 60,000 years old here has had to acclimatise and adapt. And, it, you know, this is just a relatively small thing that doesn't impact anybody. It doesn't harm anybody. And so, yeah, I would say please, if your knee-jerk reaction is to be defensive and fearful and resistant, then maybe consider why. What does it take away from you?
Absolutely. We're chatting with Kelly Jetta from the College for First Nations, University of Southern Queensland, about welcome to and acknowledgement of country. Kelly, before we let you go, when should we be holding acknowledgement of and welcome to country? Should they be at pretty much every gathering that we have?
Again, I think it's important not to become too rote and conformist about it. You know, otherwise it loses the essence. It should be something that comes authentically, not something to tick a box. And so I think certainly if it's a big event that involves country and you're gathering on, you know, traditional country where you've got a community there, visible elders, then absolutely, you know, initiate communications to have a welcome. As for acknowledgements, you know, acknowledgement, like I said, it can be as personal or as sort of generalised as you like, and it really takes 10 or 20 seconds, or it can even be in the form of, you know, a post or something you put up in your workplace on the bottom of your emails, whatever it may be, and anybody can do that at any time and in any way you like. And so, yeah, it's really up to personal sort of discretion or the discretion of an institution. But I don't think we should make it feel like a burden. It's got to be something that people enjoy doing and enjoy hearing.
Kelly, great to chat with you. Thank you so much for joining us on Joy Drive today.
My pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you. Kelly Jetta from the College for First Nations at the University of Southern Queensland.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app. No matter where you are, you can always take Em and Warren with you.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.